Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk. You'll find it in the Old Testament on page 906. Chapters 1 up to 2, and then 2 verses from 3. This is the message that the Lord revealed to the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk complains of injustice. O Lord, how long must I call for help before you listen, before you save us from violence? Why do you make me see such trouble? How can you endure to look on such wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are all around me, and there is fighting and quarreling everywhere. The law is weak and useless, and justice is never done. Evil people get the better of righteous, and so justice is perverted. The Lord's reply. Then the Lord said to his people, keep watching the nations round you, and you will be astonished at what you see. I am going to do something that you will not believe when you hear about it. I'm bringing the Babylonians to power, those fierce, restless people. They are marching out across the world to conquer other lands. They spread fear and terror, and in their pride, they are a law to themselves. Their horses faster than leopards, fiercer than hungry wolves. Their horsemen come riding from distant lands. Their horses paw the ground. They come swooping down like eagles attacking their prey. Their armies advance in violent conquest, and everyone is terrified as they approach. Their captives are numerous as grains of sand. They treat kings with contempt and laugh at high officials. No fortress can stop them. They pile up earth against it and capture it. Then they sweep on like the wind and are gone, these men whose power is their God. Habakkuk complains to the Lord again. Lord, from the very beginning you are God. You are my God, holy and eternal. Lord, my God and protector, you have chosen the Babylonians and made them strong so they can punish us. But how can you stand these treacherous evil men? Your eyes are too holy to look at evil, and you cannot stand the sight of people doing wrong. So why are you silent while they destroy people who are more righteous than they are? How can you treat people like fish or like a swarm of insects that have no ruler to direct them? The Babylonians catch people with hooks as though they were fish. They drag them off in nets and shout for joy over their catch. They even worship their nets and offer sacrifices to them because their nets provide them with the best of everything. Are they going to use their swords forever and keep on destroying nations without mercy? The Lord's answer to Habakkuk, I will climb my watchtower and wait to see what the Lord will tell me to say and what answer he will give to my complaint. The Lord gave me this answer. Write down clearly on clay tablets what I reveal to you so that it can be read at a glance. Put it in writing because it is not yet time for it to come true. But the time is coming quickly, and what I show you will come true. It may seem slow in coming, but wait for it. It will certainly take place, and it will not be delayed. And this is the message. Those who are evil will not survive, but those who are righteous will live because they are faithful to God. In chapter 3, on the next page, 17 and 19. Even though the fig trees have no fruit and no grapes grow on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no corn, even though the sheep all die and the cattle stalls are empty, I will still be joyful and glad, because the Lord God is my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord gives me strength. He makes me sure-footed as a deer and keeps me safe on mountains. This is God's word. Amen.
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, our morning service this morning will be slightly shorter than normal because we have a church meeting afterwards. So some of you will be delighted to know my sermon is slightly shorter than normal. I've entitled it, A Faith That Sighs and Sings. How long, O Lord, must I call to you, but you do not listen? Violence is everywhere, but you do not come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I am surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. The law has become paralyzed and there is no justice in the courts. The wicked far outnumber the righteous, so that justice is perverted. So say the opening words of Habakkuk. But they could so easily be the words of your heart and mine today. Why, God, did Khalid Masood drive a car into pedestrians on the pavement along Westminster Bridge, injuring more than 50 people, five of them fatally, and then fatally stabbed an unarmed police officer? Why, God, did 22 people have to die, including children, after the explosion that tore through the pop concert at the Manchester Arena? More than 800 other people received physical and psychological injuries in the blast at the Ariana Grande concert. Why did that terrorist, Salman Abedi, become a suicide bomber and carry out such an attack? Why such hate? Why were dozens of people buried alive and at least 22 dead after a landslide engulfed two villages in the Philippines, triggered by extreme weather conditions after the cyclone these past days? It was the second fatal landslide in the Philippines this week as the result of the typhoon. 60 people in another village, mostly miners and their families, were buried after a landslide buried a chapel where they were sheltered from the typhoon. Why, God, such tragedy? Tragedy is hard to understand, hard to explain, and it's hard on our faith. Some people lay the blame at the feet of God and become bitter and cynical toward him. They ask for explanation, but often they get silence. They ask for understanding, but remain baffled. Such suffering is often a reason why so many people struggle to believe in a loving, merciful God. Life is a mystery. Much of what happens in life is beyond us. And even if it were explained to us, we probably wouldn't be satisfied with it. We long for sensibility. We seek explanation. We're desperate for reason. We need to understand one fundamental truth that is spoken throughout all of the Bible. It seems that God never really explains himself. He rarely gives reasons. The events that unfold in our world seldom make sense. We're therefore confronted with the basic tenet of our faith that Habakkuk writes, the righteous live by faith. Perhaps one of the greatest expressions of undaunted faith ever penned comes from the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Most prophets spoke to the people for God. Habakkuk spoke to God for the people. He lived in times that were hard on the issue of faith. He saw the righteous suffering and the wicked prospering. He asked God the two questions we often ask. Why? And how long? Why are these things happening? How long before it's all put right again? I often ask myself those questions day by day. I often wonder why Donald Trump is in the White House. I heard of somebody the other day who said, God put Trump in the White House to be a mirror to the people. Now I get that. God revealed to Habakkuk that the Babylonians, the essence of everything Habakkuk and God for that matter detested, would become God's instrument of judgment on Judah. Habakkuk did not understand. He could not explain it. For a time, evil would win over righteousness and bad things would happen to good people. God's hand would not move. His face would not be seen. Yet throughout this time of chaos, God reminded Habakkuk, the righteous will live by faith. Habakkuk realized that though he did not understand God's ways or timing, he could not doubt God's wisdom, his love, his reliability. And then Habakkuk wrote his great affirmation of faith. Though the fig tree does not bud and there is no fruit on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will triumph in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk affirmed that even if everything he relied on failed, if everything that gave stability to his life crumbled, still he would trust in God. Perhaps if he was living today, he might say, though the hurricanes will rage, though the terrorists attack, though the stock market crashes, though Brexit seems like a mess, though the company goes bankrupt, though the economy heads south, if everything I rely on falters, still I will trust in the Lord. My confidence in God will never waver. Corrie ten Boom knew something about tragedy and suffering. She lived with a courageous faith. Upon emerging from a Nazi concentration camp, she said, "There is no pit so deep that God isn't deeper still. There is no pit so deep that God isn't deeper still." Pain and tragedy is a pit, and for many it seems bottomless. Many experience a falling, a disorientation, a terror. They grab for walls out of their reach. They see only darkness and hear only echoes of the life they used to know. But for many, they claim that God is not present. But Corrie ten Boom, like Habakkuk, reminds us that even in the pits of tragedy, God is still there. He is present. The pain is real, but God is real too. That's where faith comes in. Faith reminds us we may not fully grasp God's plans for us in our lives now, but in time to come, we will trust in God's love. Until then, we go on believing in Him. The God of the universe has plans for your life and mine, and He is busy enacting them. But it's not always easy to discern. It is often above and beyond us. We often view life as though we're watching a parade through a rolled-up program. We can only see what's immediately in front of us. But God is high above us and sees all of life in one glance. He sees both the beginning and the end of things, while we only see the present. We can often be wiser after the event, but while the crisis is occurring, we're unaware of why God allows such tragedy. Only after we reflect does it strike us that God was alongside us through it all. On the wall of a concentration camp, a prisoner had carved these words: "Faith believes that God is too kind to be cruel. Someone once said, God is subtle, but he's not malicious. He's never malicious in dealing with us. Whatever he does or allows, he has our best interests at heart. Remember the words of Apostle Paul, who spoke of the kindness of God and his amazing grace when he wrote, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Verses that are as important for what they do not say as they are for what they say. They do not say that everything that happens is good. They do not say God causes evil. They do not say that everything will turn out okay for everyone. What they do say is this: God is at work in the world, especially in the lives of his children, and his glorious purpose is to make us like his son Jesus. And to that good end, God can and does use all things, the good and the bad, that which he causes and that which he permits. It assures us that no experience has to be a waste. When we try to impose our timetable on God, we get ourselves into trouble. There's a story of a teenage girl who found a cocoon on a tree in the garden. She was intrigued by it and decided to watch it change. One day, she saw a tiny butterfly inside the delicate covering, and she watched it struggling, trying its best to break out of its captivity. Finally, the girl became so frustrated that she decided to get a sharp knife to make a tiny slit in the side of the cocoon in order to free the struggling butterfly. Soon afterwards, the butterfly was free, but it could not fly and finally died prematurely. There are times of trials and difficulties when we want to short-circuit a process. We want the journey to be ended. We want to get out, while perhaps God wants us to prepare us for something new. Like the butterfly, it's often in struggles that we obtain strength. George Buttrick, an English-born American, once said, "The same sun that hardens the clay melts the wax." I suppose it's our choice whether we let inevitable suffering and misfortune in life harden or soften us. We can choose to be hopeful or hopeless. We can decide whether we will be an optimist or a pessimist, whether the cup is half full or half empty. It all depends on how we look at it, and we determine in which direction we look. Habakkuk presented a great affirmation of faith by saying, "Yahweh, my Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like those of a deer, enables me to walk on mountain heights." I suppose the deer is like the mountain goat, that sure and steady footing. On the most treacherous terrain, it never falls. That's the promise of God to us. He will keep us on our feet as we travel the treacherous paths of life. We may not get out of the troubles, but he is there in the midst of them. God is here with you and me. And I know some of your deep and darkest tragedies in your life. Be assured this morning that he never leaves you. He cares so much for you. Even if the night is dark and the storm is raging, God is there. Even when you can't see the hand of God, you can trust the heart of God. The question for all of us today is, will you trust him? Even if you don't understand why. Trust him because you know that he knows why. Even if you wonder how long, will you trust him? Trust him because he knows the time and the length of one's suffering. Trust him without explanation, logic, and reasoning. Trust him because he loves you and he is God. It's been said that a heart that never suffers is a heart that never sings. The amazing part of our faith is that it can be found in the deepest despair and in the greatest joy. And Habakkuk reminds us that true faith does not ignore life's problems, but meets them head on. Our faith is a faith that asks difficult questions, but at the same time recognizes that God is in control. It's a faith that sighs and sings. William Cowper, the English poet, who suffered from acute mental illness throughout his life, knew that personally. And he turned Habakkuk's words into verse. And I finish with these. Though vine or fig tree, neither their wanted fruits should bear. Though all the fruit should wither, nor flocks or herds be there. Yet God, the same abiding, his praise shall tune my voice. For while in him confiding, I cannot but rejoice.